You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Yeah. So I know Chris understands the idea of, you know, I'm going to do well. I'm going to eat a little fresh fruit, a little granola. Yeah. And then, you know, 3 o'clock rolls around and you know what? A whole pizza is probably fine. It's only 3 o'clock. It's not a big deal. I get that Chris and I share an affinity for that. Is that a Slee thing? Can you be good for half the day and then lose your mind in the second part?
I think that's kind of the story of my life, and especially with late games,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, those don't
so
help.
Let's use tonight as an example. Tonight, Lakers taking on the Spurs. 4 o'clock is the pregame show. 5:30 is tip-off. Trav, you know, usually Laker games will take about 2.5 hours, or if you have 98 reviews like they did on Sunday night, it will take 3.5 hours. Get done with a post-game show, whatever you're done after. You get home by, let's say, 10 o'clock, mm-hmm. right? 9:30, 10 o'clock, something like that. You're done with work. You don't want to just go to sleep. Maybe you're going to throw on some highlights. The TV is coming on. The refrigerator is right there.
Probably a bottle of wine somewhere
in
that house.
This is the process. This is the process. I actually don't drink that much weekdays.
Well, you're missing
weekdays
out.
Weekdays don't really.
That's your problem. It sounds like a you problem.
Well, because we got the show in the morning.
Well, I'm not saying you got to get a funnel
during
and
the
go
week.
Crazy. I'm saying have a glass of wine.
You got to pull an Emily and just have 3 different types of liquor.
Yeah, that's three different types. Just shotgunning beers on a Tuesday night. I'm like, well, just having a casual evening.
Are either one of you guys disciplined enough? Like, okay, it's past, you know, I don't know, 7 o'clock. I'm done. Either one of you guys able to do that?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
not,
Funches. Well, Funches.
Not lately.
Yeah, Funches.
Not lately, though. Not lately.
I don't usually eat after dinner. I like when I have dinner, I'm usually pretty done, and I have it usually before 7 p.m.
That's
so, but last night I did have a later night, and I really wanted to stop at McDonald's, and I had to hold myself back from it.
Well, you did. So that's a win for you. See, I don't get a lot of wins in that. ESPN Radio is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. And speaking of late games, this is not really one of them, but
yeah.
Now, it's game 4. We both, I think, are on the same page, Alice. We knew that this was going to be a work in progress. We knew that it would take some time for all of the pieces to get ironed out and fit together in a meaningful way. But in an odd way, tell me if you agree with how I'm looking mm-hmm. at this. Opening night is opening night. Everybody's jacked up. Okay, so you lose and you kind of say, yeah, the Warriors had a really good night. Even if Steph didn't have a really good night, you lost the game and not a big deal. You play the next game against Phoenix Suns, who are really good, and they pound you. So, okay, you lost to a good team. Whatever, not a big deal. You play Memphis, and you really struggle to beat them. You need a little bit of a lucky break at the end on a missed free throw. But you can look at it and say Memphis has a tremendous player who played tremendously and kept them in the game. Okay. Tonight, you got to win tonight, and you got to look a certain way tonight because your opponent is not a good team. Your opponent is not a team that you would expect to be in the playoffs. Your opponent is one of those teams that you should be able to take care of fairly easily.
So, Trav, do you remember this? We're at Media Day, and this was maybe a month ago, whatever it was. We're at Media Day. And
did I ever show you my pictures?
You did. Yep, you showed me your pictures.
Me and LeBron, me and AD, yep. Me and Carmelo. There's a whole bunch of them.
This is why it's such a good partnership. The guy who posts pictures on Instagram with him and the players and then has me cropped out. Really cool. No, really cool. Okay, so if you remember during Media Day, the dialogue and the conversation started of, it might take us a second to kind of figure this thing out, right? You got 11 new players on the roster. It's LeBron, AD, and THT. There's only 3 players that came back. And it was like, yeah, for sure, guys. Let's get the preseason started. Lakers go 0-6 in the preseason. And the dialogue is continued. You hear Russell Westbrook. You hear Dwight Howard. You hear Rondo. We're going to need a second to figure some stuff out. And by the way, it's preseason, so we're not really paying attention to preseason. Regular season starts. We just went through the first week of Lakers basketball. Remember, a week ago today is when they started the season. They played the Golden State Warriors.
Yep.
It launched off a week ago. So they've had 3 games in the past week. You mentioned the loss of the Warriors. You mentioned the loss of the Suns and then the win against Memphis. So I am now fully in understanding at least the mode of, they really meant what they meant. They really meant what they said about it's going to take a second for the season to get going for us, that you're not going to see that great of basketball or a finished product for quite a while down the road.
Mm-hmm.
But I also don't want to make excuses for this Lakers team. I really don't, because they do have a really good team. The roster is obviously fantastic. So when you're saying, you know, here you got the San Antonio Spurs, and you mentioned, hey, maybe with the Golden State Warriors, it's the first game. Maybe against Phoenix because they got to the NBA Finals. Maybe because of Memphis because Ja Morant
is
went,
awesome.
For 40, yeah. went for 40 and 10. I feel like there are, so far this year, there's just a lot of excuses being made. And I think that it's a Lakers team where I don't know how many excuses you have to make. How about instead of excuses, you just say, you know what, the Lakers had a bad week. Mm-hmm. They went 1-2, and they should have played better. And the Golden State Warriors are a fringe playoff team without Klay Thompson, and they made the Warriors, with Steph Curry having a bad night, look pretty damn good. And as good as Ja Morant is, as a young of a point guard he is, you probably shouldn't have one guy drop 40 and 10 on you, and then you got lucky that he missed a free throw there to send the game. You probably shouldn't go down 32 to the Phoenix Suns. So I say that because I think there's two ways to look at this Lakers team. I'm with you, it's going to take time. They've sold me on it, because if you watch them in the first week,
turns out they were telling the truth.
They were telling the truth, because their performance showed that it's going to take time. But at the same, kind of by the same token, you got enough talent on that team. That talent alone should ride you through the first couple months of the season.
Yeah, look, they have a schedule that's coming up against some bad teams. They've got a bunch of games against some teams that you figure that if the Lakers are healthy and playing, I don't even want to say playing well, just if they're playing, if the Lakers stars are playing.
Can I throw something at you?
Sure.
I'm going to go through. I predicted before the season started, mm-hmm. they'll go 7-3. Okay. I still think they could actually go 7-3.
Even at 1-2.
I was going to say, Al, they're 1-2. What do you mean 7-3? This isn't the NFL pick'ems where you continue to pick half the games.
0-10. Yeah. Those are your only two lanes.
Have you ever seen that, by the way?
Never.
Either literally crash and burn, or it's the smoothest landing you could possibly think of, okay?
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable.
So I'm going to go through their schedule and – the San Antonio Spurs, they play tonight. Mm-hmm. The Spurs last year were 6 games below 500. Nothing has changed for the Spurs. Nobody's going to – you know what changed? They lost DeMar DeRozan and Patty Mills.
Player, right. Okay.
So the Spurs are not expected to do much. W or a loss tonight? LeBron, by the way, is questionable to play tonight.
Even if LeBron does not play tonight, they should win tonight.
Okay. So then you're 2-2, okay? Oklahoma City Thunder – can you name off, and I'm not kidding here when I say this, can you name off two or three guys on that Oklahoma City Thunder team?
Oh, man. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Who, by the way, is an awesome young player.
He's really good.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook still there.
Yep.
Is Steven Adams still there?
Westbrook is still there. Maybe you were going to throw out Mike Muscala. No.
I wasn't. Al, can I tell you a secret? You ready?
Yeah.
Hold on. Everybody listen. Until you said that name, Mike Muscala.
Forgot about him.
I didn't know that person existed on Earth until you just said his name.
Well, for about 36 seconds, he was a Laker a couple seasons ago.
If you say so.
Yeah, literally, for 36 seconds, I think he was. Okay,
right.
So they got the Oklahoma City Thunder tomorrow.
Yeah.
Win or
Reggie
loss?
Jackson, is he still there?
Yep. He's thriving. He's thriving there. He's nice. Steven Adams is there, too.
Yeah.
Okay. Win or loss against the Thunder?
Win.
Okay. So then you're 3-2.
Okay.
Cleveland at Staples Center, win or loss?
Win.
Houston at Staples Center, win or loss?
Win.
Houston again at Staples Center, win or loss?
Win.
OKC at Staples Center, win or loss?
Win. Wow.
And then you're at Portland.
Loss, because they always lose in Portland.
Take the loss. Do you know what that record is?
10-3.
7-3,
right?
7-3 through the first 10 games. And the reason why I mention it that way, they have such an easy schedule to start off the season that I don't think their record is going to tell the full story by the time the first 10 games come.
Mm-hmm.
It could just simply be, they just played nobody, right?
Wow.
They had three tough games in the beginning, which all of them were at home, And, you know, you went 1-2, and then they had a lot of easy games after that. So I think 7-3 is actually realistic.
I do, too. What's interesting also is that they're playing a little bit differently than I think a lot of people would have expected. In particular, LeBron. That LeBron is shooting a whole bunch of threes, Slee. That LeBron James is a competent NBA three-point shooter. He's not Klay Thompson. Okay, he's not Russell Westbrook, but he's somewhere between Russell Westbrook and Klay Thompson. And I'm not the only one. You're not the only one that's noticed. Here's Tim Legler.
The bigger concern for me is, and this is really kind of mind-blowing, throughout LeBron James' career, his career numbers dictate that he takes one three-pointer for every two free throws. Do you know he's taken 10 threes a game so far?
Mm-hmm.
10. He shoots four free throws a game. Okay. So you're talking about now shooting like Steph Curry volume and getting to the line four times. Now, that trend will not continue. Those numbers are going to level off. But I'm just saying, here early in the year and at this stage of LeBron's career, it is something to keep an eye on. Is he settling for that?
It's really interesting that LeBron James, again, it's three games. It's the definition of small sample size. 10 threes a game for LeBron? It seems really out of whack. That he's only getting the line four times a game, that seems really – LeBron, when he's LeBron, he's attacking the rim, he's hitting shots because people are sagging off of him, giving him a little room to take the threes. And again, he's not a dreadful three-point shooter by any stretch, but when you think of LeBron James, you don't think of three-point shooting. You think of him attacking the basket and making some threes along the way. This is an odd start to his 19th season in the NBA.
So look, it could be a combination of things. Number one, he's hitting – his threes right now. So I think that maybe he's thinking, well, if they're going in, I'm going to take them. I mentioned this to Michael last pregame show. I was like, Michael, do you really want to see LBJ take that many threes? He's like, if he's hitting them, then yes, you take them. Now, what's going to eventually happen, I think Legler was mentioned right there too, he's not going to shoot 50% from three. That's not going to obviously happen. You know what? Probably about 35% will be, maybe 35 to 40% at best is where he'll eventually shoot his threes. I think, Trav, listen, and maybe I'm putting something into this, but maybe this, you know, is going to be part of LeBron's strategy this year. Hey, part of the reason why we went out there and we got Russell Westbrook is let Russell Westbrook be the guy that takes the ball to the basket. Let Russell Westbrook be the guy that puts, you know, is aggressive in getting to the hoop. I think when you reach your 19th season in the NBA and you're still in October, right, we're not even past October yet, I think LeBron is keeping his – do I really want to go hard to the hoop and get to the free throw line 10 times a game against Memphis and Phoenix on October 22nd, right? Like, I think that's part of the reasoning as well, but eventually that average is going to work itself out and LeBron's not going to be shooting. Whether he keeps shooting the amount of threes he does or not, his percentage is going to come down, as in the amount of threes he's going to hit is going to come down.
ESPN Radio is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Let's try a quick phone call here. Let's go to Inglewood this time and Big Rob. Big Rob, you're on with Trav and Slee. What's up?
What's up, guys? I hate to break you guys' heart. First of all, LeBron James is shooting those threes because he's old. And the next thing is the Lakers are going to have big problems with any young team that can run and has a legitimate star. It's already been proven twice. Golden State Warriors beat them, and they just lost to the Phoenix Suns. And the next thing, Jenny Buss, she needs to think about putting a vending machine in the Lakers locker room that has Icy Hot and Ben Gay in it so they can get it all season.
I thought you were going to get some Ensure in there, Big Rob. I thought that's where you were going to go with the old.
Yeah, here's the problem with Big Rob's vending machine. That one they used 3 months ago. You can't keep recycling the same material.
It's pretty good.
Come on now.
If we can recycle this.
Never say never, but never.
Then he can recycle his vending machine gag. I'm okay with that. Look, he brings up a really good point, Slee, that I want to get into next. Are the three-point shots just that they're falling? Or is it something else? That's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Me, that's who. Is that a,
You're
I didn't
not a believer?
A what?
Are you not a believer?
A believer of what?
A believer.
A what?
Mr. Justin Bieber fan?
Oh, is that who this is?
Here's the thing. We have kind of, I think we've really narrowed in our audience.
Yes.
We got the bikers.
Yes. Okay? Well, we used to, not anymore.
No, we have them. They're incredibly loyal, and they respect what you did, and they don't respect you anymore, but that you were respectful for about a week. We obviously have all the Adele fans. They're here, 12, 13, 14-year-olds, you name it, and now Justin Bieber. Add that to the list as well.
We got it covered.
Yeah. I think the target audience used to be men 25-54.
Yeah,
that used to
anymore.
Be for sports radio stations. We have literally changed the game when it comes to who our audience is.
We give the tweens. I believe that's the terminology. Speaking of tweens.
That's Cap.
Speaking of tweens, Emily, you had a tween experience yesterday. How did your coaching debut go?
Yeah, so I am now an assistant coach with the Rose Bowl Aquatic Center.
Nice.
So for water polo. So I have 12 and under girls. So I introduced myself. My co-coach wanted me to tell them what I did. So I was like, I work for ESPN. So go on. And I asked the girls if they had any questions. And then one little girl in the background asked me, so who's better, the Dodgers or the Yankees? And then I answered that question.
What did you answer?
Obviously the Dodgers.
Okay.
They both spent a lot of money, but they both also don't have haven't won a World Series recently. But anyway.
Dodgers won one last year.
Anyway.
What are you talking about?
But
how dare you?
The next girl asks, okay, so who's better, the Dodgers or the Angels? And that's a much easier question to answer.
Nobody actually thinks that that's a real question, right? I mean, that girl's 12, you said?
Yes.
You need to take her under your wing and say, listen, that's not a good question.
Angels have a better future. Angels have a better future.
They got Shohei Ohtani. That's what I told her. I was like, that's something to look forward to. But yeah, no, they are little sports fans.
They call you Coach Emily?
Yes, Coach Emily.
That's nice. That's nice. I like that. Good little community.
She actually sent me a text this morning. She said, it's Coach Emily moving forward.
I'm going to change on the contact of my phone. Instead of Emily Hebel, it's going to say Coach Emily Hebel. That's how that's going to go. All right. So we had Big Rob calls from Inglewood and make his Ben Gay and Ensure and Icy Hot joke. It's a good joke. I like it. You're welcome to make it again.
It's also old,
Rob.
But, yep.
It is, but it's still funny. It's fine. He brings up an interesting point. What if the three-point shots, and again, it's three games, so I'm not making any broad, sweeping generalizations. However, what if he's taking those three-point shots because he feels those are the shots that he can get right now, and he's playing the long game? He's playing the long game of, listen, I can still get to the basket when I need to, but I can't get to the basket every time the way that I used to. I need to kind of pick my spots the way that older players sometimes do. What if it's more that, and this is a more extreme example of that?
Here's the reality, Trav. He could be right. I mean, right? There are certain fans out there that are saying certain things. And just remember this. Before the season started, a lot of people were saying, oh, the Lakers, you know what? They're incredibly old. No, I don't think it's going to be successful. How is this going to fit? How are these players all going to mesh? The reality is we have no idea. You know, yesterday you and I were joking around about this. ESPN came out with their power rankings, right?
Mm-hmm.
The power rankings. Every Monday, the power rankings come out.
Yeah.
Every Monday, you know, teams are jockeying for a position. The Lakers move down five spots, and all of a sudden, that's like, you know, that's a big thing. And by the way, I make fun of this, and then I end up talking about it on Lakers Talk yesterday.
There shouldn't be.
We
eight.
Talked
they
about
should
it
be
yesterday. We're talking about it right now. So obviously, I'm using the power ranking content that they have provided us.
Sure.
But if you walked away from that first week of the season, nobody is right on anything, right? Like, I mean, if somebody comes back or if Big Rob wants to say the Lakers look really old in that first week, you can make that argument. The problem is it's just 1 week. The problem is, you know, you're not going to really know the Lakers or assess the Lakers for another 30 days, 60 days, 90 days. Can I give you a good example? If I'd have told you that Carmelo Anthony, 2 days ago against the Memphis Grizzlies,
mm-hmm.
was going to drop 28 points off the bench. You'd be like, Al, I thought you knew something about the Lakers, right? Like,
well,
I'm not saying that Carmelo can't have a night like that, but that is not. I don't think that's going to be a common trend. When I start hearing people say, "Hey, what do you think Carmelo for six man of
no,
the
that's
year?"
I'm ridiculous. Like, guys, that's stop.
Let's slow it down here for a quick second.
No, I wasn't surprised. Look, I bet you that there's going to be. Let's set an over-under on this. How many times will Carmelo Anthony score 30 or more points this season? Is it two? Is it three? It feels like it's somewhere right around there, right? He's going to have some nights where he gets cooking and he's going to make everything.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Yeah,
if he did it more than five, that'd be amazing.
If he did it five times, I wouldn't be blown away. But I think the larger point is, do they need him to score 28 points to beat the Grizzlies? And on Sunday night, they did. They needed every life. If he scores 26, they lose. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a totally different deal. These are the things that this team, the questions that this team generates. Because of who's on the roster, because how new the roster is, because of the age of the roster, it's when all of a sudden something is very different than it's ever been, namely LeBron James is playing the game like he's Steph Curry instead of LeBron James, the first question is, well, why? And because he's in his 19th season, the immediate answer, or at least your first inclination, is, well, because maybe those are the shots that he can get. I still believe, and I don't even know if it's a bad plan. Because he's not a terrible three-point shooter, but I need him to go to the basket in April, May, and June, not necessarily in October against Memphis. If he wants to pick his spots in the meantime, what's the official designation, Al? Is it questionable for tonight's game?
Questionable.
Questionable. He's officially designated as questionable. If they take a night off tonight, this is why Russell Westbrook's here. This is where Anthony Davis can go and do what he's supposed to do. This can be one of the nights where Carmelo Anthony, instead of getting his 12, can get 24. This is why the roster is constructed the way it is. So if you do need LeBron to have a day or here or there, fine. You still have some other guys that can do it. But if he becomes some sort of three-point guy on a regular basis, that raises a lot more questions than it answers.
That's one of the things I'm most curious about this year. When LBJ's not playing a game, or when LeBron decides, hey, okay, let me go off and let me rest for 6-8 minutes or whatever the case is, what is Russ doing in that time, right? Is Anthony Davis – are the Lakers, because we know this from years past, every time LeBron goes to the bench, it's as if, okay, well, let's just look at the score right now. Whatever it is, it's going to be -8 by the time LeBron comes back.
Sure.
Right? That's just kind of – you could put that down on your notes. The Russell Westbrook piece, that's what makes him such a fascinating player on this team, because if all of a sudden LeBron starts going to the bench and you still have a guy that can get to the basket and you still have a guy that can go dish out 13 dimes like he did in the last game and you still have a guy that can create for others, then you know what? There's less pressure on LeBron James, and I don't answer if that's going to be the case this year. I think we're going to need more time to figure that out.
ESPN Radio is brought to you by Goodyear, with you for every mile on the road to greatness. Goodyear, more driven. You know, the scenario that you just described to Sleep is really difficult. Think about what you just said that you're asking Russell Westbrook to do. I need you to fit in with LeBron on the nights that he's here. I need you to be something that you've never been in your career, which is a complimentary player. I need you to be the guy that is not the first one, not the second one, but the third one. So just chill out over there. It's hard to make that adjustment. That's the part that I'm most concerned about. But on other nights, I need you to just do what you've done your entire life. To be two different guys like that, that's hard. And I get, look, Russell Westbrook's a smart guy, been in the league a long time. He understands how to play the game. But to say, okay, tonight I need you to be compliment Russ, and this night I need you to be aggressive, hyper number one Russ, to switch back and forth between those two roles, that's not easy.
Yeah, by the way, it's not easy. That's the role. It's the role. That is the reality of the role for the Lakers, or at least specifically for him. Just like, you know, Carmelo's role is much less on the Lakers. I'm going to compare Carmelo to, I don't know if Lakers are going to like this comparison, Lake fans will like this comparison or not. Last year, Trav, what was the one thing you needed Kyle Kuzma to do for the Lakers?
Make shots.
It's shots. You're going to get open jumpers, be that stretch four, or in some cases a stretch three. Be somebody that can hit open shots because there's so much attention going to these other players. Carmelo comes in. It's actually a perfect role for him. It fits him perfect. The Russell Westbrook piece, you have a vision of what you want Westbrook to be on this Lakers team. It's just going to take some time to figure out if that's going to be realistic or if it's not.
Well, the vision is multifaceted, too. It's not just, I need you to do this. I need you to do this on odd-numbered nights. I need you to do this on even-numbered nights. And then if it's a full moon, I need you to do a different thing. They're asking him to fill a lot of different roles, which, like I said a minute ago, it's just not easy to do. All right.
Hey, Julio, why don't you come in the third inning? Hey, why don't you come in the eighth inning? Hey, Julio, why don't you start this game?
Hey, look, they had him pitch four times in 13 days. In three different roles. What's the big deal? But look how smart they are. Look how smart they are. Look how clever it was. Look, hey, you never saw that coming, did you? Yeah, enjoy your golf vacation. That one will never make sense to me. It will never, ever, ever make sense to me. All right, Factor Cap is coming up next. We're going to talk a little NFL football. In specific, we've got very good news on the injury front on the Rams. That's coming up just a little bit before 12. It's all straight ahead. Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
I don't know. I'm going to be honest. The comment from Amanda is still kind of rattling around in my head that she's got used to the Fu Manchu and now she wants it back. I don't know which person I am. I'm having like an identity crisis, Al.
Which person do you want to be? That's
not
a question.
Look. Okay. Here's the truth. I want to be respected by the people that were giving me respect with the mustache, but I don't want other people to think that that's the way that I roll. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I want a good solid. Hey, I dig that from bikers, but I don't want non-bikers to think that I'm a biker. I just want the bikers to accept me without having to look like one.
I think I have a solution. Grow your hair long.
No, I don't have any hair to grow long.
Just grow the back of it long.
Get a wig.
Yeah, I could put the party in the back, business up front. I forget exactly how that description goes. Anyway, ESPN Radio is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Emily, a little factor cap.
Totally cap. All right, up first, Jeff Bezos should buy the Denver Broncos. Alan, is his factor cap?
So, okay, is this a real thing here? He's trying to buy an NFL team, or he's got interest. My initial reaction is, cap, does he need to be in the business of the NFL? Does Jeff Bezos really need to? I read something a couple days ago that this guy is trying to build a hotel in space. Literally a space hotel, and he wants to worry about the offensive line as well.
He's trying to create the Jetsons. This is pretty awesome.
And he's supposed to worry about the Denver Broncos special teams and what they should be doing in week 6 and the offseason and everything else. I think he's got bigger things on his plate. And oh, by the way, this whole space hotel thing, first of all, you got to go to space. Okay, if you're going to actually go up there, I don't need the, hey, I'm going to be gone for 13, 14 minutes. I'm going to come back down and I'm going to go to Ralph's on my way home. I don't need any of that. So I don't think he needs – I'm going to say cap. I don't think he needs to be a part of the NFL.
I like it. I'm going to go fact because, look, there are some very, very rich people involved in the NFL that mm-hmm. you've got guys like Stan Kroenke who, he's got more money than he knows what to do with. He just built a $5 million unbelievable thing.
And he has a tenant with him that has to give him pay rent every month. Yep.
Yeah, but let me just throw this out there. As rich as a number of these NFL owners are, ain't Jeff Bezos rich, okay? So you don't want to see with somebody with literally.
We're seeing it.
Literally
Steve Ballmer.
Unlimited resources. There you mm-hmm. go. But in the NFL, to what sort of stadium are we talking about? What sort of resources are we talking about? What sort of facility? Like all of these things, I would like to see what the richest man in the world could come up with in the NFL. I'm kind of intrigued by that.
Maybe they'll come up with a game. Week 6 will be in space.
I'm down. Look, we're already playing in London. What's the difference? Let's just keep it moving. London, Mexico City, and space.
All right, next, one of my favorite shows, Curb Your Enthusiasm, premiered this Sunday with the new season. So one of the main issues of the show for Larry was that he kept on running into this guy who owed him $6,000. So the whole crux of it is, when do you have to ask someone to pay you back? So my statement is, so if someone doesn't pay you back within a month, it's an issue. Travis, is this fact or cap?
That's fact, but it's a tricky fact, right? It depends on the amount that we're talking about and the amount of time. If somebody borrows $20 from you because you're out one night and, hey, I don't have enough money to get home, can you spot me 20 or 40? Yeah, sure, here it goes. If they don't pay you back, you can't bring that up. Now, you need to remember that they didn't pay you back, so you don't give it to them next time, but you don't really have to go and beat them over the head for your $20. $6,000? Yeah, I'm bringing that. Hey, I gave you $6,000 a month ago. I kind of need that. I kind of need my $6,000 back. So, yeah, I think that's fact. I think you can remind him within the month.
Okay, I got kind of, I think, a philosophy to this, all right? I'm going to go cap on this. How bad do you need it? If you need it, right? Like, you need whatever it
like
is.
Like, bookies
that
are going to break my legs? We kind of need it?
No, if you need it, as in, if you did somebody a favor and they borrowed money from you, and maybe there's this, you know, whatever that understanding is right out the gate. It's like, hey, I'm going to get this to you when I can. And you don't need the money. It's okay to kind of let that thing go down the road. The uncomfortable part is you don't want to be the one to bring it up.
No.
Like, it's the other person's responsibility. If I'm going to borrow money from somebody else, every time I see them, I will think of, yeah, I owe this person some money.
So here's where it gets really tricky. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's just hypothetically speaking, I loan you, what is it, Emily, $6,000 in the episode?
Yeah, $6,000.
And that's not a small amount of money.
That's also small for Larry David, but anyway, go on.
I owe you $6,000, and yep. I say to you, Al, just hit me back when you can. No, you know, take your time. If it takes you a month, great. If it takes you 2 years, that's fine. Just when you can hit me back with it, hit me back with it. And then you and I go to lunch, and you're ordering the prime rib sandwich with a $14 glass of wine. That's what it's like. Dude, come on, man. I'm going to need you.
I'm
gonna
gone
need you to get
for the
bowl.
Next week, heading out to Jamaica, staying at an unbelievable resort.
I need you to get the bowl of chicken noodle soup and an ice water. Okay, I'm going to need to make sure that you're not spending my money on things that are like that. If you're paying your rent, Al, I got your back. If you need to make your car payment, I got you. If you need medicine for your kids, I got you. Don't worry about it. Hey, what do you think of my new car? Get that out of here.
Just got the new Escalade 100K, yeah, just dropping it.
There's some variables in that one.
All right, so next, a Colorado hiker who was lost for 24 hours ignored rescuers' attempts to reach them because they didn't recognize the number. So you never pick up when it's an unrecognized number. Alan, is this fact or cap?
It's fact. I don't pick up if I don't recognize the number. But then every once in a while, out of a blue moon, I'll just say, okay. I don't know about you guys, but I think I am the blueprint of, hey, let's just keep calling Alan on these calls where when he does answer, it just hangs up. Or, hey, just FYI, someone got a hold of your social security number. Call us back right away. Like, it's, I get every scam call that you can possibly get. I get it. Like, I think they come through me and then they filter out, okay, should this now go on to other people? For the most part, I don't answer them. But then occasionally I'll throw a couple in and all of a sudden it's like, hey, your car insurance is done today. Call us now. I get roped into those.
Yeah, send a text, State Farm or Allstate or whoever you're doing your insurance with. The only scenario where I would pick up a number that I didn't know is if I was lost in the woods. That's literally it.
And anything else, this guy,
no
chance. That's when he didn't pick it up?
Yeah, no. That I like to be the guy that's antisocial. I like to say I don't pick up my phone. I don't return emails right up until I'm going to freeze to death in the woods. And then you can send me, you can call me, do whatever you want. I'm your man. I will give you my social security card number if you decide that you want to call me when I'm lost out in the mountains. Yes, I'm picking up that call.
What's more impressive is that they had service in the woods too.
You know what? That's a great point. How do you get lost if you have cell phone service? Don't you just call and say, hey, park ranger, I'm out here in the woods somewhere. You need to come and get me.
You know what's
I have
funny?
No idea
I'm
where
literally
I'm
getting a spam call right now. Like, I'm just looked at my phone. I'm getting a spam call. Anyway,
I can see
him. Pick it up. Find out who it is.
I can see him saying, I have no idea where I'm going, but you know what? I'm just going to go on YouTube and watch a couple of videos. It's like, bro, you have service. You're fine.
Don't phones have a compass too? I know mine does. You can just walk back the way you came.
Who knows how to use a compass? I definitely don't.
It's just if you know where you started, you can find your way back. I'm not Lewis and Clark. Don't get me wrong. I don't have
Magellan over here.
But I know if I'm walking into the north, I just want to come back to the south. I know how that works. I don't think I need Sacagawea to point me in the right direction at that point. By the way, I'm the only sports talk host in the country that's talking Lewis and Clark and Sacagawea on a Tuesday morning.
Compass
that's
talk.
Our audience.
That's next.
That's
right.
Our audience.
That and the Beliebers, I think, if I said that right. All right. Very, very good news for the Rams. Good news for the Rams and their Super Bowl aspirations. We'll tell you what it is next. It's Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Trust me when I say this. When it comes to my appearance, there's nobody that needs to keep me in check. I'm already fully self-loathing when it comes to these sorts of things, so I'm fine.
You're superficial. All you care about is looks. All you care about is your own looks.
My hair, my clothes.
Head out to Rams games. You're wearing all.
Oh, speaking of, Emily said she saw the jacket that I should get for Rams games. It was a sports coat with Rams like logos and the old Pat Hayden era Rams, the royal blue and the yellow. That's not a bad idea. I don't know if I need Rams logos on it, but I like the color idea.
You said this last time. You said that you really wanted to get that type of jacket. So you haven't made any move on that?
No, I was kind of hoping someone would give me one.
Yep. You threw it out there. Yeah, and it's like, hey, somebody want to donate a couple jackets.
Didn't work. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Insurance is proud to support veterans with its annual Keys to Progress vehicle giveaway program, now celebrating 9 years of donating vehicles, helping veterans in need. Learn more at keystoprogress.com. So, speaking of the Rams, they're off to a fantastic start. They're 6-1, and barring something just I can't even come up with what, they're going to be 7-1. The Texans are dreadful.
Now, what do you think that line is going to be?
I already know what it is.
It's
14.5 right now. Or let me say, I shouldn't say right now. It was 14.5 yesterday. I don't know if it's moved since yesterday, but I did look at it yesterday and it was 14.5, which is a little bit less than it was against Detroit. So and they didn't cover, but we'll see. Look, the Texans are the worst team in football, and it's not close. They're 30th in offense. They're 30th in defense. They don't have a quarterback. They don't have any sort of identity at all. They don't run the ball. They're not good. They're just not good.
Did you say 30th in offense and 30th in defense?
That's right.
That's probably not good.
It's not a winning formula.
I don't think I've ever heard of that in sports where you're last in both. Like you have solidified and stamped that it's not that we're just a mediocre team on offense but the worst in defense. No. We are the worst in both of the most important categories, the only categories that matter, which is offense and defense. We are the worst.
They gave away, literally gave away, the best wide receiver in football in DeAndre Hopkins for virtually nothing. Here, take him. Sam Darnold is going for second rounders. Okay, you've got all these guys that are getting traded for really high value, multiple first round picks, right? Jared Goff got you two. Matt Stafford got two first round picks. There's players. Here, you take him. You have him. J.J. Watt says, I don't want a part of this. I'm out of here. So he leaves too. They're bad is the point. They're going to be 7-1. The schedule for the Rams in the second half of the season, far more daunting because you have two against San Francisco, who gives you a hard time. You've got to play Arizona again, who's undefeated. You got Seattle, who's always a tough opponent. You've got Green Bay. You've got Baltimore. You've got some tough games. Tennessee. You've got some games that are going to be a little more challenging than what you've had over the last three. That's not the part that's super interesting, though. Here's what it is. Sean McVay was talking yesterday and was asked about Cam Akers and whether or not he might be able to come back for a playoff run, and here was his answer.
No, he's definitely not. You don't want to be presumptuous at all. We got to handle our business, but if you said we give ourselves an opportunity to play after the season, would there be a possible Cam sighting playing for the Rams? That's not something I would rule out.
That's really, really interesting, Slee. Cam Akers was the best offensive player on this team last year at the end of the year. He was the guy that was getting all the carries. He was the guy that they were really leaning on. Now, in part because they had uncertainty at the quarterback situation with Wolford and Goff, but Cam Akers was doing work. He was really good. He was expected to have a really big season, and he had the Achilles injury earlier in the year. Now, if he comes back with the way that Matt Stafford is playing, with the way that Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods are playing, with the way that that defense is able to get stops when it needed, if you can put in, it doesn't have to be the second coming of Todd Gurley.
Sure.
It just needs to be a really functioning running game. Forget it. The Rams are as good as anybody at that point.
So he says, he goes on a little bit further. I'm going to read off a quote. He said, he's doing great. I think the plan is if we're able to play past the regular season, we'll get Cam back this year, and he'll be playing in the playoffs. So this is what do you kind of usually think of for playoff football?
Cold.
To have success.
Cold. You got to run it. You got to play defense.
You got to be able to run the ball, and you got to be able to play defense. Get a couple win the turnover battle. But running becomes a big part of the game, and I just mentioned that because, listen, for all we know, every one of these games could be right here in L.A. in Inglewood, and weather is not going to be an issue. But it also could be in Green Bay, where that could be the difference of you getting to the Super Bowl or not getting to the Super Bowl. So we know how many offensive weapons that the Rams have. But, Trav, how about if you're a defense out there and you all of a sudden say, you know what, we're going to let them throw the ball. All we have to do is we just got to control these wide receivers. We got to make sure these guys are in front of us. And they have the ability to say, let's hand the ball off to Cam to get us 4 yards here, 6 yards here. That could be a complete game changer, especially at that time of the year.
Okay, so this is getting way ahead of ourselves. Mm-hmm. That the Rams play the Super Bowl at SoFi Stadium is not a stretch. You don't have to squint to see it. Maybe they're not the favorite, but they're not much more than the second or third betting favorite out of the NFC. They're sure. Right there.
Sure.
Could the Chargers make it an all hometown affair? Because look, Kansas City has real problems. All of a sudden, we're 7 weeks in. They're under 500. The Raiders are a good team. The Chargers are a good team. And the Chiefs are going to have to really get hot. And you look at their schedule. Their schedule through the second half of the season is tough. Mm-hmm. Okay. There's a scenario where the Chiefs don't even make the playoffs, as weird as that is to say. I still think they'll find a way in, but their defense is terrible, terrible, terrible. So who knows about that? You look around the rest of Baltimore, are they good? Yeah. Can anybody beat them? Yeah, the Bengals just got them. You look at a team like Cleveland, good? Yeah. You look at it, there's nobody that just jumps off the page at y'all as the team to beat in the AFC at this point. The Chargers getting to the Super Bowl against the Rams at SoFi Stadium is not a pipe dream. It's a realistic possibility.
It's not definitely not a pipe dream. I got to see more from the Chargers. I have Rams we know should be in the mix. That one is – you actually mentioned this, I want to say, last week. They're getting ready to play the Giants. And you're like, you know what the topic is on the Rams? Is that there's no topic that you just kind of expect them to win. And this is what they were – until you get to the postseason for the Rams, that's when you're really going to kind of know, hey, they had a good season or they didn't. That's what it's going to be based off of. Using the Chargers as an example, you're right, the AFC is open. What everybody thought – two teams coming into the year, everybody thought – are the two teams, the Kansas City Chiefs and the Buffalo Bills. Mm-hmm. And Bills, by the way, could still very well
sure
be that team. They're 4-2 right now. But it is open. Are you scared of the Cincinnati Bengals?
There's nobody on that side that scares me.
Tennessee Titans have had some really good weeks, and I think we're going to see some more tests with them, specifically when they go up against the Rams. But none of these teams, when they have a good week, there's a good chance that the following week that they're going to lose. And I think that's what makes the AFC so fascinating right now. So putting it that way, if you said what's more likely, the Chargers getting to the Super Bowl or the Rams getting to the Super Bowl, I don't hesitate on that one. I say the Rams. But the Rams might have a tougher road to take to get to the Super Bowl than I think the AFC is presenting, at least right now through seven games.
It does feel like that the NFC, you have to beat more good teams, whether it's Green Bay, whether it's Tampa, whether
Cowboys.
The Rams. The Cowboys are really good this year.
Arizona
is really good. Mm-hmm. The AFC feels like, any of those teams could have a day where you could beat them. Maybe Buffalo, I'm glad you mentioned them. They might be the one team they say, you're going to have to get a little bit of a break to beat them, but it's not a huge – by the way, we haven't even said this, the Raiders are in the mix too. The Raiders are 2-0 without John Gruden, and they seem to have a little bit of bounce in their step, Al, that they did not have before.
Trav, go to the standings right now on ESPN. Vegas, 5-2. They're yep. sitting right there. Cincinnati, Tennessee, Vegas, and Baltimore, all with the exact same record at 5-2.
All right, so USC still needs a head coach, and the list of candidates had a name on it that should have never had a name on it, and he cleared that
bluffing.
Up in a very, very awesome way. That's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. Are you dealing with a dead battery? If you are, head into AutoZone, America's number one battery destination. They'll offer free battery services like free battery testing and free battery charging. Their free battery testing can help you know if you need a new battery or not, or if you're in need of a fresh charge. And if you do happen to need a replacement battery, they can help you with that as well. They've got reliable replacement batteries starting at just $79.99, and they're the only place you can find proven tough Duralast batteries. So the next time you're having battery trouble, head to AutoZone, your battery solution and America's number one battery destination.